Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Tes. We are holding on the top of Tes Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss today is the Mishnah is going to tell us that we're not concerned after doing B'dikas Chametz that maybe a weasel came into a room that we have not yet searched, took Chametz there and brought it into the room that we have already searched. And the Mishnah is going to say, because Ein L'davar Sof. However, the Gemara is going to deduce from that if you actually see a weasel take chametz, then you do have to assume the chametz is still there and that you have a problem. You cannot make the assumption that the weasel must have eaten it all up already and therefore there's no problem. The Gemara is going to contrast that to a case of meat, of flesh, where apparently we can assume that the weasel ate it all up already. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the rule of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadai, that if you know for sure that a problem was generated, but you're not sure if the solution to the problem happened, so we cannot rely on a suffix solution when you have a vadai problem. And the Gemara is going to have three challenges to that idea of Ein Suffix Motzi Midei Vadai, that we do find in a number of places, apparently, that when you have a suffix solution, it solves a vadai problem. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to challenge the idea that we don't have to be concerned about a weasel from a Mishnah on tomorrow's daf. At the very end of tomorrow's daf, the Mishnah is going to imply, at least, that we do have to be concerned about a chulda showing up and schlepping around our chametz and putting it where we don't want it to be. And then the daf is going to conclude with the first three of 10 consecutive cases that goes well into tomorrow's daf, all through Amud Aleph of tomorrow's daf, 10 cases of safek chametz that we learn the halacha based on a parallel to hilchos kashrus or to hilchos tuma v'tahara. So that's going to be Bezrus Hashem at the end of the daf. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein choshin shema giru chulda mi bayis to bayis mi makom l'makom. You don't have to worry that after you did b'dikas chametz, a chulda is then going to schlep chametz from a bayis that was not yet baduk to your bayis which was baduk, or from a place that was not baduk to your place that was baduk. Timkein mechatzel lechatzer umi in the year ain ledavar sof. Because if you're going to be concerned about that, then you'd have to be concerned that maybe the chulda would drag chametz from a different chatzer, even if you had everybody in your chatzer be bodek and everything was all done simultaneously, and you know that there was no chuld in the entire chatzer. But who's to say that the neighboring chatzer didn't still have chametz, and that a chulda, as soon as you finished, a chulda came and dragged chametz into your chatzer? Now, if we would be choshesh, then what would that require us to do? If we'd be choshesh that chulda would drag chametz mi bayis l'bayis, so Rashi writes on the Mishnah that we're not choshesh that when you're bodig zavazu and you go to be bodig zavas acheres, that a chulda dragged chametz to the place that was already baduk. And the itztarich lachzor v'livdok, you would then need to go and do another bedika. So if we were choshesh, you would have to do multiple bedikos. But wait, how many multiple bedikos? You'd have to do forever. There's always that concern, because every time you go to that corner, the other corner is unguarded. So that's what the Marshal writes, that the assumption is that you have to do a bedika with a lot of people. You can't just have one person doing a bedika. You would need to get lots of different people together and put everyone in a different corner, and everyone does bedika at the same time. And therefore, you'll know that there's no chulda there at all. The Meiri writes that what we would have required is shomrim, maybe not multiple bedikos, but at least not one person being bodek and another person guarding to make sure that there are no chuldas running back and forth. But the bottom line is, says the Mishnah, in the davar sof, it would be impossible to police such a thing. It would be impossible to observe such a halacha because the chuldas would because the concerns would be unending. As long as there's a chulda somewhere in the world and there's some place in the world where B'dikas Chametz was not yet done. So says Mar Taima Dulo Chazim the Shakal. It sounds like the whole reason that we're concerned is because I don't know that a weasel necessarily took any Chametz, but Ha Chazim the Shakal. But if I saw with my own eyes that an animal came and grabbed some Chametz, then Chashinan Uboy B'dika, then I taka will need to do another B'dika. I mean, even though I was bodek my house, but if I saw a weasel running in with Chametz, now I'm going to need to do another B'dika in the house. So that's the clear implication of the Mishnah. So ask the Gemara Vama. But why would that be necessary? Neima achalte. Can't we make the assumption that if the weasel had the chametz, it ate the chametz, and therefore I shouldn't require another bedika? Why would I make such an assumption? Because I have a Mishnah that seems to make such an assumption. Milo tnan, doesn't the Mishnah tell us that maduros ha'akum tameim, that a residence that of an Ovid Kochavim, you have to assume is tame, because the assumption is that the Ovid Kochavim, when they have a miscarriage, they'll bury the nafel in the house, so there's going to be tuma in the house. How long did the akum have to live in that house in order to require bedika to make sure that there's no tuma there? Arba imyom, that if you live there for 40 days, meaning we assume if it was a hotel stay or something, he was there for a week, he was there for a few days, we're not going to assume he's burying the nephilim there. But if he's there for 40 days, then we're going to assume that he buries a nephil. Rashi says, why 40 days? It's a number that's associated with a nephil. Kedei yitziras havlad, meaning even if the woman became pregnant on day one that she was in the house, so it would take 40 days till there was a tumah issue. Less than 40 days, it would just be dam that would come out. We'd consider it like a heavy period or something. It wouldn't be considered a nephil bichlal. Yitziras havlad takes 40 days. So since it takes 40 days, that's the number that we go with. She could have come in already 25 days pregnant. Yeah, but we have to pick a number. So we pick a number that's kedei yitziras havlad. Vavu bishen loisha. Not only that, even if the man is not married, if it's an ovid chavim that lives there that's not married, we're still worried about a nefel. But here's the key line. If there's a chulda and chazer around there in that area, so ain't sarach bedika, you're not going to have to search for a nefel. Because even if there was a nefel there, the assumption is that the chulda and the chazer took the nefel. So the Gemara's question is, why do I make that assumption when it comes to a nefel? And I now no longer have to worry about tuma that's in that bias because of the chulda and the chazer for sure would have taken it. Yet when it comes to chametz, if I see a chulda schlepping chametz around, I have to worry that the chametz is in my house. Why can't I be sameich on the idea that the chulda may have eaten the chametz? So answers the Gemara, answer number one, I'm Rabbi Zera lo kasha. Haba basar, haba lechem. Look, it depends on the meal that you're offering the chulda, right? If it's going to be basar, so he's going to eat it right away. But if it's going to be lechem, nah, he may not be so hungry to eat lechem. He doesn't want to fill up on bread just in case he finds basar. So he's going to put the lechem aside, and that you're going to have to worry about. Bebasar lo mishayra, he doesn't leave over any basar, but lechem mishayra, but he's going to leave over some lechem. He's not going to finish every last bit of lechem. Amar Rava, so Rava says, wait a second, hi, my bishlam hasam emor hava emor lo hava. No, the answer is different. That the reason that we're allowed to rely that the chulder or the chazir ate the nephil is because I don't know that there was a nephil there to begin with. I mean, the whole thing is only a chashash that maybe the akum that lived there buried a nephil there. So maybe yeah, maybe no. Vimtim salamar hava emor achalte. And even if there was a nephil there, so maybe achalte, maybe he ate the nephil. Aval hacha devadi the chazin of the shakal mi emor da achalte. Have a savik vadi vein savik motzim devadi. But over here in the diuk we're making from our Mishnah is that if you see a chulda schlep chametz into your house, so now you know that you have a chametz problem in your house, and it's a suffix whether that problem was solved. So it's a vaday problem. We're not going to rely on a suffix solution for a vaday problem. If it was a suffix problem to begin with, so then we'll rely on a suffix solution. Like in the case of suffix, whether there's a nephil there, so I'll rely on a suffix solution. Maybe the chazer of the chulda ate the nephil. So the Rava's answer does not distinguish between lechem and basar, but simply between how certain the problem was to begin with. What does it mean if there's a suffix problem that can rely on a suffix solution? So that's a very well-known principle throughout all of Shas, svek sveka. Suffix, maybe there was a tumah there, maybe there wasn't tumah there, and even if there was tumah there, maybe the tumah problem has already been taken care of by the chazer b'chulda. Frektosos, wait a second. Svek sveka, yes, that's a rule we rely on in all of Shas, except for by tumah and tahara. The halach is, suffix tumah b'rishos yachid is tameh, suffix tumah b'rishos rabin is tahar. We learn it from Sota because the Torah speaks of Sota in terms of Tuma, even though it's really Bia, it's not Tuma, but since the Torah speaks of it in terms of Tuma, we use that in Masech Sota as the limud for Kol HaTorah Kula, that we always say Safik Tuma Rishus Rabim is Torah, Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid is Tuma. There's no logic to that. It's not something, it's a Gzeres HaKasuv, that's just the way it is, that it all depends on Rishus Yachid versus Rishus Rabim, and because there's no logic to it, the Mishnah tells us that Kol Makom Shati Yachid LaHarbel Sveikos, so Sveike Sveikos, Rishus Yachid Tameh. Not only is Safik Tuma Rishus Yachid Tameh, Svek Sveikom Rishus Yachid is Tameh. Svek Sveikom Rishus Yachid is Tameh. So how can our Gemara say, how can this Mishnah say that we're quoting, that because it's a Safik, or Rava's explaining the Mishnah, that because it's a Safik, whether there was a Nathal there, so I'm allowed to rely on the Safik, that maybe even if it was there, the Chazin Chulda ate it. So Tosus gives a couple of answers. His second answer is fascinating. He writes, Inami, at the end of Tosus, Eimar Achalte Odif Mishar Sveikos. The possibility that the chulda or the chazer ate it is stronger than any other suffix. Meaning meaning it's not like a 50-50 suffik, it's a karov levadai. The suffik harogilhu, the karov levadai, v'teidah da'afilu midei vadai by the memer shiatzizah suffik. And I'll bring you a raya that it's not just a regular suffik, that it's came out like a vadai, is that the Gemara originally thought that even if it was a vadai problem, that suffik would solve that vadai problem. So we're going to assume that it's going to work to solve a vadai problem where you know that there's tumma there, even though the Gemara rejects that, but we're going to even have such a hava amina, which is wild, that tells us to bring a raya from a hava amina of the Gemara. If we're going to have such a hava amina that it's going to solve a vadai problem, then it must be that this is karav levadai. I'm reminded of the Gemara's comment in Masechta Sukkah, v'alo lo yibol shafil sicha schunah shel tamid chachamim tzrichin limud. And Chaim Velazhner explains, what do you mean sicha schunah shel tamid chachamim? Tamid chachamim shouldn't be speaking sicha schulin. He says, no, it means that even a hava amina in the Gemara tzrichin limud. The sicha schulin means even when someone is going through, Talmud Chacham is going through the process of figuring it out, and he suggests this solution, then rejects it, and then suggests this solution, then rejects it. Even the suggestions are tzrichin limud. You can have what to learn from the suggestions. That's what Tosfos is doing. He's learning from the hava amina what the halacha would be, that if something is karav levadai, and this is used by poskim, this concept that when it's karav levadai is used by poskim in some of the most extreme cases of agunos and things like that. The guy was at war, so when do we assume that it's karav levadai that he was killed? You know, these kinds of situations. So that's as far as that's concerned. Pnei Yeshua raises a different question with regard to this idea. Why is it that the Tana in our Mishnah patters from Bedika because of a chashash that a chulda was gorer the chametz because ein l'davar sof? Meaning that's the only reason we pattered in the Mishnah. If I didn't see the chulda, then the only reason I'm patter is because ein l'davar sof. As a Pnei Yeshua, I'll give you a better reason to say that you patter. Rashi writes Bedikas chametz is a din derabanan midaraisa bittul bial masagi, and the halacha is Safek derabanan lekula. So if I didn't see that a chulda dragged it, forget about it in the davar sof. Safek derabanan lekula. So Pnei Yeshua answers based on the Magen Mishnah that it's true we normally say safek derabanan lekula, but the Magen Mishnah writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Beis that we do not say safek derabanan lekula when it comes to bedikas chametz, because the entire notion of bedikas chametz was built on a safek. Meaning the rabbanan were misaken to bedikas chametz not when you know you have chametz. If you know you have chametz, throw it out, right? Obviously, get rid of it, destroy it. The Chacham were Messiah B'dikas Chametz, even if you think you might have gotten rid of all your Chametz. I don't remember about any Chametz here, but it's Dafka for Chametz that's Mesupak that he had a Suffolk about. So since the entire B'dikas Chametz was built on a Suffolk, says the Magen Mishnah, says the Pnei Yeshua, based on that Magen Mishnah, says the Magen Mishnah, we're not going to apply the principle of Suffolk Derabban and Lekula when it comes to anything that's related to B'dikas Chametz. Now, as far as the case over here that we're quoting from this Mishnah, Maduros Ha'akum. So Akum lived there, and therefore I have to worry about a Suffolk Nefel that maybe they buried some Tumma there. And let's say they did bury some Tumma there. What kind of Tumma would that be? Meaning it would Lechora be a non-Jewish dead body or a non-Jewish Nefel. So what kind of Tumma does that transmit? Why am I concerned when I walk into the house that there's going to be a problem? So there is a Machlokas in Meseches Yevamos between the Chacham and Rishim Ben Yochai. To what extent may say Akum are Mitame, very nogeh lemaisa, that according to the Chachamim, of the Chamra Mitame, even betumas ohel, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, maga, masa, you're not allowed, a kohen's not allowed to touch a mace akum, a kohen's not allowed to lift a mace akum in a body bag or something, but a kohen is allowed to be in the same ohel as a mace akum. That's the machlokas tanoim between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rashi writes that because of that, maduras akum are tame, because there's Tumas Ohel according to the Chachamim and Tumas Magumas according to Rashbi, meaning our sugya works according to each, either opinion. That apparently the concern is not only that you can be in the same room as a mace, but that you might actually touch the mace, because apparently they didn't bury them very deep, so there's a concern that you might touch the mace. The Tosiyantiv compares this in Masech Zalos, he compares this that according to Rashi Bar Yochai, that there's no Tumas Oel by Akum, that you have to say that the Tumah Maduras Akum is like Tumas Beis HaPras, Shenechrash Bakever, that if I know that there was a body buried in this field, and then they plowed the whole field, so why is the whole thing Tamei Midrabanan? Because I have to be Choshesh that maybe when they plowed it, they scattered pieces of the body throughout the field, and I'll end up touching, not Ohel, I'll end up touching some part of the mace. So that must be the concern when it comes to Maduras Ha'akum. The Rashash, however, has a very important chiddush, where the Rashash writes within Rashi that the chashash, according to Rashi Meichai, is not a chashash that you might actually physically touch the mace. It's a chashash you're going to walk over it. Well, walking over it, that's Tumas Oel. Rashi Meichai said that there's no problem of Tumas Oel when it comes to Mace Ha'akum. No, says the Rashash, there are two types of Tumas Oel. There's Tumas Oel where you're in the same room. That's what we call Oel Hamshacha. And there's Tumas Oel where you go directly over the mace. Tumas Oel, where you go directly over the mace, that has a din of Tumas Maga. So even though we say a mace akum or mace akum are not matami ba'ol, according to Rishon Reichai, which is what we pass to make radin in Shulchan Aruch, even though the Shulchan Aruch recommends to be machmir, make radin mace akum are not matami ba'ol. But if you're walking over the mace akum, then it's considered to be the equivalent of Tumas Maga, and that's going to be problematic. There are some Kohanim that there's a Ramesh writes in Shuvah that Kohanim should absolutely not go to medical school. So some Kohanim do go to medical school, and the hetzer that they use is that Meikar Adin, there's no Oel Hamshacha B'Meisei Akum. So as long as the cadavers are non-Jewish, and in America you're allowed to assume Al-Pirov that they're not Jewish, so they're in the same room, so it's not going to be Oel Hamshacha Meikar Adin, even though the Shulchan Aruch recommends to be Machmir. But even then, they have to be very careful they have to be careful not to touch the cadaver, which means that if they're doing an anatomy lab, they're part they have to have a very good relationship with their partners on the in anatomy class to make sure the partner does all the work and they're just taking the notes. But they also have to be careful not to look too closely because they lean over and then they're being mahil over the mace. And that has a din of Tumas Maga, says the Rashash. Rashash isn't the only one. Many of the Akronim point this out. There's a raya from the Mishnah Alos this way that it has such a status. Tosos Maseches Yevamos, however, is Yevamos of Samach Aleph. Tosos writes that the whole Mishnah that we're quoting over here in Alos, that Maduras Ha'akum Artame must be only Lishitas from Shimon Gamliel, that Ovdei Chavim are Matame Ba'ohel. That if the Ovdei Chavim are not Matame Ba'ohel, then there would be no concern of Maduras Ha'akum. The Rambam seems to have a different approach. The Rambam says in the 11th paragraph of Hilchos Tumas Meis that Maduras Ha'akum are Matame like Eretz Ha'amim, just like Chutz La'aretz is Matame, until you're Bodek that there are no Nephilim that are buried there, because the Rabbanan were Gozer Tumah. Just like there goes there Tumah and Eretz Ha'amim. So you don't need to work out the details, according to the Rambam, of what exactly is the concern. Well, might you touch? No, it's a special Gzeri Midrabanan. So once it's a Gzeri Midrabanan, that there is this form of Tumah Midrabanan, so that's it. That's why it's Metame. Okay, so now, says the Gemara, wait a second. We just said that if you know for sure that a weasel dragged some chametz into the house, even though it's possible that he ate the chametz and the problem has been taken care of, but it's a vaday problem. You know that he dragged the chametz in, so a suffix solution that maybe he ate it is not going to solve a vaday problem. Says Mar, is that true? Vein suffix motzi mide vaday. As a matter of principle, do I assume that a suffix solution doesn't solve a vaday problem? So vahatanya. But don't we have a brisa that tells us chaver shemes v'niach magura malei peros, that if you have a chaver that dies, meaning a talmud chacham, someone who's trustworthy in Trumas and Maestros, he dies and he leaves a magura malea peros, he leaves a basket full of fruits. Vafilu hein b'nei yoman, even if that basket is just b'nei yoman, which means they were just picked from the field that day. Harei hein b'cheskes mesukanin, you have the right to assume that they are mesukan, that he already took Trumas and Maestros from them, and that it's not tevel. So vahacha devade tvili hani piri. The Safik Musarin, the Safik Lo Musarin. What's the case over here? It's a Vaday problem. All produce that comes into the world is Tevel, until Trumas Maestros is taken from it. It is Tevel, so it's a Vaday problem. I have a Safik whether the Chaver had an opportunity to be Mafresh Trumas Maestros before he died, Vakasi Safik, Motsumite Vaday. And I'm allowed to rely on that Safik solution to a Vaday problem. So says the Gemara two answers. Number one, Hasam Vaday Vadehu. No, you're making a mistake. It is not a Safik solution. It is not a Suffolk whether he solved the problem. It's a vada that he solved the problem. Devade maasri. He for sure took maestros. Kid Rabbi Chanina Chaza'a, aligned with the statement of Rabbi Chanina Chaza'a, Dam Rabbi Chanina Chaza'a, Chazaka al Chavashe Motsimitaksi al Davashe Musukan. It's not that maybe a Chavar is going to be careful and make sure that Peros do not leave his hand without being taken care of. It is a Chazaka, and a Chazaka has a din like a vadai. Viva Yasema, or the second possible answer is you're right. It's only a Suffolk whether he's going to going to fix it or not, but the problem is not a vade problem. The problem was only a suffix problem. Meaning, whenever you have a shayla, a question of, wait a second, it looks like over here we have a suffix solution solving a vade problem, there are two ways you can answer it. You could say, it's not a suffix solution, it's a vade solution. Or you could say, no, it's not a vade problem, it's a suffix problem. So we have an answer for each side. Right? First answer we gave was that it's a vade solution. The chazaka that a chaver is not motzi mitachas yad davar shenu mesukan. No, it's only a suffix problem. Suffix the suffix who? Isn't all produce going to be tevel? No. Dilma me'ikara emer delo tevili. Maybe it wasn't tevel to begin with, because there are tricks you can do to make sure that the peros never become chayiv in shumas ma'isros. K'derabbi Oshaya, dam Rabbi Oshaya, marim admal tzvaso u'machnisa b'motshela k'dei shteibem to'achelos p'turim in a ma'iser. That a person could bring his produce in still in its shells, and since you didn't have a gemar malacha out in the field, it's a technicality. It never becomes chayiv in shumas ma'isros, and then you're still allowed to be machil it to your behema. You're still allowed to feed it to your animals even without taking shumas ma'isros. So you see that not all produce is necessarily tevel. So since it's a suffix problem to begin with, we'll rely on a suffix solution to a suffix problem. Now it's interesting. We said afilu him b'nei yoman, even if the fruit is b'nei yomo. So that phrase ben yomo is more commonly used. We're used to that phrase in hilchos kashrus, that if you have a pot that's been used to cook food in the last 24 hours, when it comes to kasherings, right? So we always say wait till it's eino b'nei yomo to kasher. Wait till it's more than 24 hours since it's been used. There's actually machlokas rishonim in Maseches Avodah Zarah as to what that means in terms of kashrus. What does it mean b'nei yomo? Rashi strongly implies, pretty much explicitly writes, that b'nei yomo doesn't mean that it's been 24 hours. It means that calendar day. It means just like by nosar, something becomes nosar. If you have a karban that you brought late in the day, let's say on Monday, Tuesday morning, it's already nosar. 24 hours haven't passed. Rashi says same thing about b'nei yomo, that we assume that the next morning it's already ain't a b'nei yomo. You can already assume it's no same time of kam. A gaval de kachidish, which it means you live in somewhere very north. You live in Alaska or something, and it's summertime. Nighttime is what, an hour. So it means you cooked late dinner. An hour and a half later, no same time of kam. All the blios are no same time of kam already, which is and if you live in a place where there's a longer night, so it's going to take much, much longer. Wild that would affect the tam in the pot. We don't pass like Shitas Rashi, although we do use it as a sniff lahakel. We're mitzarif into svek sveko whenever there's an issue. We don't pass like Shitas Rashi. We assume it means 24 hours. But there is a shita of that the Ritva quotes and rejects. There is a shita that b'nei yomo means that the pot was only used once. It was only used once for non-kosher. That's what b'nei yomo means. And the raya that he brings is a bar be'rav ben yomo. That he has different gears in the Gemara. We talk about a bar be'rav, someone who just showed up to yeshiva, who doesn't know anything, a bar be'rav dechad yoma. That he's only learned once. He's learned for one day. Right? So we said, he had a gears of bar be'rav ben yomo. So he said, you see, the word ben yomo is not used to describe something that was from that day, but something to describe something that only happened once, that was only used once. But over here you have actually the word ben yomo used to describe the peros that were picked today, meaning it was from today. These peros were from today. So this seems to fit better with our translation of ben yomo, that its last use was today. Okay, so anyway, so that's the question about the chaver with the peros, and two different answers, whether it's really a vadei solution or it was really only a suffix problem to begin with. Now, what's the nafkamina between the two answers that the Gemara offers over here? So the Mishnah Melech writes, nafkamina between the two answers is, let's say you saw that the peros came into the house mimurachim, that they already had a gemar malacha. You know that it was vaday tevel, right? You know that it didn't come in with its shells. So that would be a clear nafkamina. According to the first teretz, that a chaver has a chazaka, that ain't a motzi mitachas yod d'davar sheino mesukan, so the chazaka will still solve that problem. But according to the second teretz, it's no longer a suffix problem. It's now a vade problem. The Pnei Yeshua raises another issue. The Pnei Yeshua asks a question. According to Tosfos, in a number of places in Shas, Tosfos holds that the chiv of truma on peros is only a chiv midrabanan. The chiv of truma, dug in tirosh v'yitzar, Bashar is midaraisa, but on peros is only midarabanan. So what's the Gemara's kasha to bring a raya from a chaver shemes v'niach magur melei peros that I'm allowed to assume that it was solved? Yeah, because it's only a problem midarabanan. You're allowed to assume that it was solved, but when it comes to chametz daraisa, you're not allowed to assume that the problem was solved. So the pashut answer is that Pnei Yeshua leaves it as a tzarachin, which is a pella to me that he leaves it as a tzarachin, because the word peros throughout Shas. First of all, the word peros throughout Shas means all grains. Throughout Shas, we always use the term peros, even when we're not just talking about fruits like apples and oranges. And second of all, dagan tirosh v'yitzar. So what does that mean? That means grapes, it means olives. Those are also peros. By every definition, those are peros. So it's unclear to me why the Pnei Yeshua is working with the assumption that his peros have to be peros that are only chayiv in Shavuos Maisos midrabanan. Okay, so now the Gemara says challenge number two. Again, we try to suggest this principle that ain't suffix motzimide vaday, a suffix solution does not solve a vaday problem. So we challenged it from the case of the chaver and his peros, which, by the way, I should mention also, it probably depends on the condition of the chaver when he died, right? I mean, if the chaver died and he was very ill and he could barely move and he didn't have mental capacity, and 12 hours before he died, someone picked produce from his field, it's hard to say that at that point that you'd still have the same chazaka on the. So if he died suddenly, he had a massive heart attack out of nowhere, so then you could assume he took care of whatever he would normally take care of, and he's normally diligent to take care of his peros right away. But now the Gemara has challenge number two. Three lines from the bottom. Is that true that a suffix problem does not solve a suffix solution does not solve a vade problem? There was a story of a shivcha of a certain guy in a place called Rimon. Shetila nefel a bar, and the shivcha had thrown a nefel into a bar, but she wasn't sure about her tumah status. Uba kohen v'hitzitzbo leida im zacharu nekevehi. So Cohen came to look to see whether it was a male nefel or a female nefel, because we had to know what her tumah status is. Because when you give birth to a baby boy, it's 7 days of tumah and 33 days of tara. Baby girl is doubled, so we needed to know her status. Uba ma'isel v'nechacham v'tiaruhu. So now the Cohen had a shaila. Because he looked inside the bar, so he hovered over the bar where there was a nefil in the bar. So the Chum said that the Kohen who looked is Tahar, because there are all sorts of animals in the bottom of the bar, so it's very likely that they schlepped away the nefil, and therefore he didn't become Tameh. Very likely, but is it a Vadai? Va'achai devadeh hitila, she definitely threw the nefil into the bar, Safik aru, Safik lo garu, but it's a Safik whether that problem was solved. So he shait, Safik lo garu, he shait, because and apparently we're relying on the suffix solution to solve a vatai problem. So says Gemara, again, two possible answers. One is going to be that it's not a suffix solution, it's a vatai solution. The other is that it's not a vatai problem, it's a suffix problem. So first, that it's not a vatai problem, it's a suffix problem. Lo teva shetila nefel bar. Not that she threw a nefel into the bar. Ela ema shehipila kimin nefel bar. She was mapil something that resembled a nefel, that was like a nefel into the bar, but we're not even sure if it was really a nefel. It may have been something that just came out of her body that was not tameh to begin with. And therefore, it's a suffix problem to begin with. But wait a second. It said that the Kohen was looking to see if it was a zachar and a keva. How can you say you're not even sure if it was a nefel? Then we're saying that he's looking to see if it was male or female. Male or female presumes that it was a nefel to begin with. Now, hachikamar, leida im ruach ipila im nefel ipila. First, he wanted to investigate, was it a nefel at all? V'imtim salomer nefelipila leidem zacharim nekevihi. And even if it was a nefel, to find out, is it a zachar or a nekeva? But it wasn't only an investigation of zachar and nekeva, it was also an investigation of whether it was a human form that had gone down into that bar to begin with. So since there's a possibility that there was never tumah there to begin with, that's why we'll rely on the suffix solution that a l'chuldo abadil, the slayer mitzuyin sham, would have taken the nefel. V'ibay yisema, or we could say that it's a vadai solution. Hasan vadai vevadaihu. You're right, it's a vadai problem. She definitely threw the nefil into the bar, but it's a vadai solution. Kivan de chuldo bardos mitzuyin sham vadai garu beishaita. If a chuldo and bardos are around, then for sure they would have taken they would have taken the fetus. Neither shira mishaira migra mias vadai garum beishaita. Even though we don't have a chazaka that they'll necessarily eat up the entire fetus immediately, but they'll definitely at least put it away for later. That they'll definitely save it for. for later. So you do see that there is that there is a vaday solution to the problem. So that's those are the two approaches over here. Now Tosfos has a couple of important comments in the bottom Tosfos on Tesamad Aleph. Tosfos says, wait a second, a shivcha. We said it's a shivcha that had a nephil, and what they needed to see if the baby was male or female to determine the tumah status of a shivcha. Does a shivcha have tumah status? Does she have tumas yoledes? So Tosfos says, mikan ein lo chiyach the shivcha metame beleda. Not a raya from here that a shivcha is metame beleda. Why? The shemesh gvir tahaya. She does all the dirty work for the woman for the mistress of the house, for the woman that she works for, whatever for her boss. So her boss may have had a nefel, and the boss said to the shivcha, get rid of this. So the shivcha threw the nefel into the bar. So that's not a raya. However, Tosfos says just because it's not a raya doesn't mean it's not true. Miu b'taras kohanim amrin behedya daver al bnei yisrael einli al bnei yisrael minayin l'rabos kiyores v'shivcha mishuchreres v'she'ein mishuchreres. That the Medrash says explicitly that a shivcha, even if it's not a shivcha meshukharis, does have tumas leida. So although it's not a raya from our Gemara, it's still a halacha that a shivcha has tumas leida. And then Tosa says toward the end of the Tosa, wait a second, the shivcha threw this thing that has tumah into the bar, and she wants to know what kind of tumah she has. It's like a dead body, it's a nefel she threw into the bar, so she wants to know what kind of tumah she has. So who does she call to look? A Kohen? Well, what's going on? Why would the Kohen go look? Call anybody but a Kohen. The Kohen should be the last person on your list of who's going to hover over a bar that has a dead body in the bottom of the bar. So says Tosfos, V'omeri, the Kohen shota haya. Who says the Kohen was educated? The Kohen was an idiot. He was a fool. Ta'afilu imnomar shel gevir tahaya, v'kohen zeh karov haya. Because even if the nefel was not the Shivcha's own nefel, it was the nefel that belonged to Gevirta, to the boss, and the Kohen maybe was a relative, maybe it was the husband, maybe it was some other relative. Lo hayelo l'tamei. Damirim b'toras kohen deim kohen metamei l'nefelim. Tadumi dav v'imo b'inon b'nei kayama. That even if it was a relative, a kohen is allowed to be metamei to a relative when the relative is a ben kayama, when the relative lived. But when it was a nefel, a kohen is not even allowed to be metamei to a relative. Vod dekan lo haya l'tzarech hames. And also, a kohen can't just be metamei whenever he wants to a relative. It has to be l'tzarech hames that a kohen is metamei to a relative. Otherwise, a kohen is not allowed to go and be metame to a relative. So this Kohen, says the Ri, must have been a Kohen Shota, not a Kohen who was a Chacham. Now there is a major discussion in general about the din of Kavura when it comes to a Nefel, right? The Hagos Maimonides brings a Raya from our Gemara that there must not be a mitzvah to be covered in a Nefelim. It's a question how you can bring any Raya from this. We said the Kohen was an idiot, the Shivcha, meaning we don't know what was going on over here. This may have been a Maisa of people didn't know what they were doing. But the Hagos Maimonides thinks that you could bring a raya from our Gemara that there's no mitzvah of kavura on the nefel. And therefore, even though we're allowed to do kavura, and the practice is in some communities still that they do kavura on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, but you're not allowed to do kavura on the nefel on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, because it's kavura on the nefel is not really a mitzvah of kavura. We're not kavura, and that's what the Ramah Paskins and Shulchan Aruch, that we're not kavura on nefel on Yom Tov. However, the Magen Avraham disagrees. And the Magen Avraham says there absolutely is a chiv kvura on a nefel, and it's a violation of lotalin if you leave a nefel unburied. And he says, what about our case? They threw it into the bar. Maybe throwing into a bar is a kiyum of kvura. Mehechi tesi, that doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of kvura. Or it could be that we're talking about a shvir, which is not really a nefel, when it's something like that. So says the Chazanish, throwing into a bar is a kiyum of kvura, says the Chazanish. What's the point of kvura? The point of kvura is to protect the body and let the body decompose naturally and nothing should happen to the body. That's why, when does Avela start? Stimas Agolel. Once everything is closed off and sealed off and there's nothing that's going to, you throw into a bar, you see very clearly that the body is not protected. So there's no, you can't say that that's a kiyum of kavura, and therefore much more likely, like the Ramah said, that it's not, there's no mitzvah of kavura on a nefel. The Chasam Sofer sort of splits the difference. Chasam Sofer says, well, wait a second, let's back up a step. Why do we ever do kavura on anything? He says, there are two reasons to do kavura. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells Daf Mem above. You do kvura mishum kapara and mishum bizyona. Kapara means that the person gets kapara with chibut kever, and the person themselves gets kapara. And bizyona is that it's a bizayon of the tzelem elokim to leave someone unburied. It's a bizayon to the whole family to leave the person unburied. So says Chassam Sofer, by a nefel, you have the reason mishum bizyona, but you don't have mishum kapara. The nefel didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't need any kapara for any averos that he did. So all you have is mishum bizyona, and therefore it could be that a modified form of kvura would work. You just need to make sure that the nefel's not lying around somewhere. So maybe throwing into a bar would fulfill the kvura that's necessary for a nefel. So how to dispose of a nefel may not be the same exact thing as the type of kvura that we normally require. In Sholem Meshev, he writes, la halach we pass like the Magen Avraham, that you do have to be kover a nefel, no matter how expensive it is. And some of the Afronim say, even if we don't pass like the Magen Avraham, the minig is that they do some sort of kvura on the nefel. So typically, when the nefel is formed enough, they call in the Chavar Kadisha. The parents usually are not involved. That's what they recommend. Parents should not be involved. Let the Chavar Kadisha just take care of it. They don't even tell the parents where it's buried, and they take care of it that way. Okay, back in the Gemara now. So says Gemara, Mi amin nein chosh and shem agir l'chulda. Are we really not concerned that a chulda is going to schlep the chametz from one place to another? V'aketani sefer mashem ishari yanichan abitzina shlo yitzark b'dika achrav. The Mishnah at the end of tomorrow's daf is going to tell us that after you do b'dikas chametz, make sure you put the chametz away in a safe place. Why do I have to put it in a safe place? Apparently because I'm concerned shem agir l'chulda, that a chulda is going to come and take it. Says Gemara, three answers. Number one, Amar Rabbi lo kasha. Harba abas or haba shlosh asar. It depends if we're talking on Erev Pesach or the day before Erev Pesach. If it's the day before Erev Pesach, everyone's still got chametz around, so the chulda is not going to hide the chametz. It's going to leave it there. It's not going to go bring it somewhere else. But on Erev Pesach, where chametz is scarce, it's hard for the chulda to find chametz. So then it's going to hide the chametz. Amar Rava v'chulda neviyahi diyada din arbeisar v'lo afi ad l'urta m'shayir metamna. The chulda is a neviyah. The chulda knows that it's Erev Pesach and no one is baking anything on Erev Pesach until that night, and therefore it has to save more food for later. So that's one example where Chazal expressed a little bit of a sense of humor, because Chulda is the name of one of the Sheva Neviyos. So Chulda Neviyah, he is Chulda Neviyah. Chulda is a Neviyah, but this weasel is not a Neviyah. So Ella Marav Rava says the second answer. Whatever is left over, you have to put it in a safe place, because let's say you see a chulda take some of the chametz that you did bedika on already, then you know you're going to have a problem. Tanya kavasei derav, and we have a price that says just like that. I wrote selech chametz achar bedika. If you still want to eat breakfast on the morning of Erev Pesach from your chametz, Kate said yase masha meshayer, whatever you have left over, yanichenu betzina shlo tovu chulda betitul b'fenenu v'yitzarach bedika acharav. Why do you have to put it in a safe place? Because you might see a chulda take some of the chametz, and then you're going to have a problem. Third answer, avariam gzerushami aniach eser v'yim tzeteisha. No, the concern is not that I'm going to see a chulda, but that I'll put out 10 pieces of bread. This is a makar for the idea of 10 dafka, 10 pieces of bread for bedikas chametz, and I'll put 10 pieces away, and then I'll go and I'll look for it when it's time to burn it, and I'll only find 9, and then I'll know I have a problem. We're now going to go through a series of 10 cases. We're not going to get through all 10 today. It goes through all of Amud Aleph tomorrow. 10 cases where sveikos relating to chametz are resolved by looking at halachos of kashrus or halachos of tumentara. So case number one, teshat zibor shematzav echad shel chametz. You have 9 piles of matzah, 1 pile of chametz. Va'asa achbar b'shakal v'lo yadina ni matzah shakal li chametz shakal. And an achbar took something and ran into your house, but you don't know if he took matzah or chametz. So haynu tesha chanuyos. That's exactly the case of 9 stores that sell basar shchuta and one sells basar nevela. So what sort of assumption you're allowed to make would parallel that halacha. We'll see what that halacha is in a moment. Piresh, case number 2, if, let's say, he didn't take directly from the pile, something was removed from one of the piles, and then va'asa achbar v'shakal, the achbar took that which was removed from one of the piles, but you don't know what it was, whether it was chametz or matzah, haynu seifa, that's the same halacha as the seifa of that Mishnah. What of Teisha Chanuyos? What is the halacha of the Mishnah, Teisha Chanuyos? What's the ratio? What's the seifa? How does it parallel? Ditnan, the Mishnah tells us as follows, Teisha Chanuyos kul mochrin basar shchuta v'achas mocheres basar nevela. You have 10 stores in town that sell meat, 9 of them sell basar shchuta, it's a frum neighborhood, everyone keeps kosher, so there's only one store, one holdout that's still selling basar nevela, right? You have like a one tray for restaurant or something on Central Avenue, one that's still selling basar nevela. V'lakach me'achas man, and you purchase meat from one of these stores, ve'eni yodea me'eza man lakach, but you don't know which one you purchased from, so you might think you could follow the rov. No. Sveiko asur. You have to assume that it's asur because we have a principle called kavua, kemechzal mechzadami, that since you bought it from a makum kavua, we assume it's like a 50-50, and yeah, it's like a safik daraisa l'chumra. But, ubenimtza, but if you didn't get it from the store, it was already parush from one of the stores, you found it on the street somewhere, then halachachar rov. Then we say called the parish, meruba parish, and you're allowed to follow the rov. So those first two cases are resolved based on looking at the case of Teisha Chanuyos. And Bez Hashem tomorrow, we'll pick up with the third through the tenth case of Sveikos relating to Chametz that we're going to resolve by looking at halachos of Kashrus and halachos of Tumen Tahara.